CliffCentral.com.
I mean, would we ever let you down? Here we are. We pitch up every week. I mean, we're like a loyal dog. We arrive. Seriously, we arrive like around 6 o'clock. We're here every week. It's just without a fail. There's always us. It's good, right? We're more loyal than your wife or your husband.
Well, we can sit. We can fetch.
Yeah.
We can play dead.
Right. I mean, you think about it. How many marriages last as long as the show's been lasting?
Ooh.
We've done what, 7 years
huge.
Almost. Yeah, I'm telling you.
1 in 4.
But we are, I'm warning you, we're reaching the 7-year itch, so I might have to stop.
Oh.
I don't know. Maybe I want to become a... Maybe I want to become a landscaper. Maybe I want to become a carpenter. Maybe I want
traffic
to...
Traffic cop.
A traffic cop, yes. Why don't I... I mean, I want to think about those things. You know, the way I figure it... I'm not halfway through my life yet, but I can make a serious career change now, and it wouldn't be too late. I've got enough energy to do it, so it's worth thinking about.
Yeah, you know what? A lot of people are in that position, hey?
Yeah, yeah. I've seen a lot of my friends who've looked back on their career now, and they're like, "Oh, is that all I wanted to do? It's not good enough, you know. It's not something that
what."
Yes, yeah, it happens. It happens. People, they look back on their lives and they either are thrilled or they're disappointed, or there's a mixture of both. You got to consider all the options.
You have to try and see the positive, guys.
No, I'm very positive.
If Leanne is telling you to see the positive, then you know there's a lot of shifting to do.
I've probably taken shrooms this morning.
How was your weekend?
Oh, and have you? How was your dosage?
Oh, Gareth, I've been thinking about you so much. And on a serious note, how do you feel about what's happened with the elections? I know that you take these things, I know that they're close to your heart.
Well,
and I know that for a lot of people, it's been a tough thing to watch.
You know, honestly, it's not a heart thing for me. I've got to be clear about this because it also, funny you even ask this because it's come up on social media a few times. Yeah? All I've really been posting is funny memes, like the one of Melania saying, "Lawyer, I'm ready for divorce." You know, on the phone. I'm not emotionally attached to the outcome of elections. And this is maybe where, because we used that analogy that I'm... And like a sports fan around elections, except that I'm really not attached to the team. And it's hard to explain to people because some people are completely emotional about everything, right? Everything.
What?
Exactly. I'm genuinely not sad or upset or angry or any of those things about whether Donald Trump wins or not, or whether Joe Biden wins or not, it doesn't change a damn thing about my life. And this is the funny thing about, I suppose, me and other people who are into politics. I mean, there are people who are so into politics, and there are lots of them in this country, you know, because we've got such a political history. There are so many people in South Africa who are massively... Their life is determined by the course of an election, for example, or something like that. I'm really not. If Donald Trump's not in the White House by January 20th, it's not going to change a thing in my life. And it shouldn't. I think that's the healthy way to be. So I had a great weekend. I had a nice quiet evening on Saturday. I watched a movie. I watched the Borat 2.
With that ridiculously long title.
Borat 2, subsequent movie film for Make Great Diminished Nation of Kazakhstan, or something like that. Jesus, was it funny.
The fact that you've remembered it.
And again, like, this is linked to what Leanne's question is. Borat 2 is, I mean, Sacha Baron Cohen is very, very clever. And I hope that I've always been able to maintain a sense of humor about my political my political leanings, my political interests, because I really don't take any of it too seriously. And when I watch Sacha Baron Cohen pulling apart, you know, the Republican Party and America and even some of the things on the left, I'm just so entertained by it. It doesn't bother me in the least. So, you know, if a rugby player, I mean, a rugby fan, Jesus, what was that?
It was a cat thudding to the ground.
Oh, okay. As long as everything's all right. It sounded like a poltergeist.
Can't control everything in life.
It's not a poltergeist.
No, not yet.
Okay. A rugby fan would get very upset if their team doesn't win, right? And I've seen this with grown men. Grown men will walk around for a week because their team doesn't
win. They'll cry. Yeah, they'll actually cry.
Yeah, right. Yeah. There was no point where I cried during this election. And remember, it's not over yet because these things are so drawn out. I think that Donald Trump should do the right thing and concede. But there are so many cases running here. I mean, all he has to do really is overturn the results. And remember, this happened during Bush Gore in 2000. Do you remember how messy that was when they kept on? In fact, the term too close to call comes from that election. And I heard Al Gore. I heard Al Gore on one of the news networks saying, well, in political terms here, he was saying, I was all for, you know, he's got that southern drawl. I was all for us counting those votes. Every single vote had to count. I'm like, no, actually, Al, I remember that election and you were not for all votes being counted. You were actually very happy to stop vote counting in districts where you were winning. So, you know, people think we have a memory of a goldfish, and many people do. So they forget these things.
Yeah, the public opinion.
Yeah.
We quickly forget.
And all the media organizations called that election and they said, Al Gore is the new president of the United States. And then what happened? 3 weeks later, they had to reverse that.
Mm.
And there was huge uproar. I mean, people were saying, oh my God, you know, this is democracy has died and all the rest of it. And it wasn't that long after that George W. Bush was sworn in and everybody forgot about Al Gore and he had to go and write those documentaries about how the world was
convenience truth.
How by what is it now? It's what's 2020. It's by now, according to Al Gore, we should all be underwater and boiling to death. And you know, what a lot of shit. Frankly, the politicians, if Donald Trump is never seen again in politics, I'm okay with that. I don't know why people think that I would be emotional about that. It's weird to me. Like even on Instagram, I posted all these funny things and you get these people saying, yeah. And there was an article in some online publication, which I took the piss out of as well. The South African. And the headline was, shame, Gareth Cliff isn't happy with the US election results.
What?
Now, I don't know where I said, fuck these election results. I'm so unhappy. Nobody asked me how I felt until this morning, Leanne. This is the first person to ask me. And I wrote there, imagine telling me that I'm having a bad week when I'm not. I mean, we were here every morning for the show last week. Was I depressed on any morning last week, Sia?
No.
I've admitted on the show when we've come onto the show and I'm like, in the first 2 weeks of Corona, I think I said, you know, when we went into lockdown, I said to you, I don't like this. This doesn't suit me. It's fucking with my brain and I'm very unhappy. So I admitted I was unhappy then. Somehow they want to impute from memes that I posted that I'm unhappy. And it's just this weird, there's this funny thing that people have that they want to make you unhappy because they don't like you. I mean, just admit you don't like me, guys, and we can move on because I don't want you to be my friends anyway. So everybody can win here. Just go.
That is so bizarre.
Just go, Gareth, we hate you. And if we think you're unhappy, we're going to publish a story about how unhappy we think you are.
You know what it is? So I've been looking into other sources of income. And I got to the next level of applying to be a writer for a Ukrainian-based media organization.
Fake news.
No, so they've got a huge policy against fake news, which is what I was quite relieved to see.
Good morning. Welcome to Ukraine News. Here is fake news, Leanne Moll.
So it kind of looks like those spammy stories that you see at the end of an article that you're reading.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. It's real stuff, and they get you to research and all of that sort of thing. And the next part of my test was to source a tweet, Instagram post, or Facebook post from a celebrity.
Yeah.
A recent one, and flesh out a story from that.
Mm-hmm.
And I searched for about 2 or 3 hours to find someone who was appropriate for the audience.
Right.
And someone who wasn't tweeting about the elections.
Mm.
And I actually panicked for a while, and I thought, I need this so desperately that I was reading into and reading between the lines of things that celebrities had posted. And perhaps that's what happened in this case.
Maybe. Look.
People are so desperate.
They're so desperate.
That they'll yeah. read anything into it.
Well, also, I suppose, and I can't blame these guys for this. I don't know how, but despite all the people who really don't like me saying, Gareth's still trying to be relevant. You know, I'm trying when an article like this is written. Like, I'm begging someone to please use my name in an article. But I do get clicks on these things. So maybe that's what they're doing. They're just farming clicks. And maybe I was just, you know, because they know I'll get a reaction. So they use my name in an article. So that all they do is they go, because I was looking now, I was just going through my social media. So just before the election, I posted this picture with the US flag full of like love, you know, like this. And I said, sending love to all my friends in the US, whoever wins, however it goes, the world is watching you. That's all I said. That was 6 days ago. Then I put up this picture of Chris Cuomo from CNN, who I hate. But I didn't say I hate the Democrats. You know? Weird. It's just so weird. And then I put up this one of, like, here's what we know so far, which is this map of the United States with, like, crayons all over it. Because the news networks don't know what they're doing. Then I put up a Jeffrey Epstein picture of him, which says, I voted. Which is just, I mean, that's funny. None of these are serious. Then the one that it could be is, I just said that this is a great logo for the votes in Michigan, which looks like that. And then there's that Biden jump, which is what they call it. And I said that, you know, this is a great logo, fraud, which is funny. I don't think it's serious. I put up a picture of Joe Biden talking to a zombie, you know, in his characteristic kind of sniffing her hair thing. And I said, Joe Biden thanking one of his mail-in voters. But it's funny, right?
Yeah.
And I did have a go. I had a go at like fact checkers, but really, I mean, like none of this stuff's serious. How do you without asking me, like send me a question. Journalism works like this, as I understand it. And I've been in the game for a long time. And Leanne,
it is not what we understand it now.
Leanne, you can correct me because you're the only one here who studied that stuff. So if you are involving someone in your story, you should give them at least the right of reply. But usually in order to make a story out of them, you should send them a question, even if it's just
100%.
Hey, are you a douchebag? And then I can reply, yes. And then they can go with that. Gareth Clifford, he's a douchebag.
People are calling you a douchebag. What do you say to that?
Right. So none of that came from this website, which I've subsequently seen is, you know, according to like there were 2,000 comments or something on my Instagram, and people were saying it's fake. It's a fake news site. So I'm not bothered by it. Don't get me wrong, but don't think I'm bothered by the election either. I'm a pretty low reactor on these things. You guys have worked with me for how long? How often do I get emotional about stuff? I get passionate, but I'm not emotional.
Yeah, you do come across as very passionate about the election. So I am quite surprised to hear your opinions now.
Okay.
In fact, I feel almost as if I was affected more by the outcome than you.
So I've been surprised by so many people who were surprisingly emotional this weekend. know, just even people in my social circles who are saying, I really didn't think I'd be this invested in the elections up until it got right to the end. They're feeling like, oh my gosh, what's it going to be? And then the results come out and then it's either sigh of relief or, oh no, we're screwed for the next 4 years. I think a lot of people were just tied into this more than they thought they would be.
Yeah, it's a bit, again,
I mean, it does affect the whole world.
Of course it does, but you know, so does a law that's being passed in South Africa, which nobody's emotionally reacting to. You know, there's this internet censorship bill which is going through, or at least it's in the process. Now, we should be upset about that because that genuinely affects all of us, anyone with a mobile phone. But you don't see people reacting emotionally to it. It's weird.
I also hate to sound like, you know, one of those people. Next thing, I'm just going to put on a hat, a tinfoil hat or something. But really, the media is to blame as well, of course. For something like this. Because like it or not, I do not think you could have escaped the US elections over the last couple of days.
Sure.
It is being written about. It is what you see on television. It is what you now see on every, like, just, it was everywhere on social media. And so all of that feeds into you. You know, I don't even think I follow a lot of politically active or involved people, but it was just all I saw. I could now tell you about frickin' the fact that the Biden dog is a rescue and how that's going to be the first rescue in the White House. Exactly. Why do I know this? Why are we all so invested?
Because the stupid media are giving stupid people what they've always wanted, which is something to react to, something to feel emotionally connected to. That's not news. I hate to break it to you, but that is entertainment. And if you're going to call yourself a news organization, do news. If you're going to say openly, like, you know, for example, MSNBC in the United States has never ever said that they're objective news people. They've said, we've got an angle. Our angle is liberal. Fox News has always said our angle is conservative. But in between, you've got like CNN and ABC and CBS and NBC. And those
EFG.
Guys, and EFG, HFK, LMNOP, and those guys say, oh, no, we're serious news organizations, but they're not. So just stop it. You know, whatever this website is who put this up, you're not a news site. You are an entertainment site, and that's fine. But don't expect people to take you seriously, especially after you've written bullshit like this. So I got this very funny email from Stephen, who I think is criticizing us, but he's doing so in a very nice way, so I like it. He said he started a drinking game for the Gareth Cliff show every morning. He said he takes a shot, and the guy must start work very drunk. He takes a shot every time, listen to this, every time I say I don't use Twitter. Clearly that's become a boring thing that I say to
him. I'm not on Twitter. I haven't tweeted in ages.
Exactly. Second of all, every time that I say I don't have the login details for my Twitter. Third of all, when I say that I no longer have the app on my phone. He also takes a shot every time Sia mentions, I don't mean to be, but then does exactly what he says he doesn't mean to be.
I don't mean to be rude about this, but yes, you know, he really stinks.
A shot every time Leanne has technical issues.
Today's been good.
Right. Every time that Leanne's pets disrupt the show.
We've had that already today.
And Stephen has a drink every time Imibulaleyo is self-deprecating in an oddly arrogant way. And then finally, he says the network. He has a drink every time the network is delayed, which causes people speaking at the same time. Please, please, please go back to the studio. Take all of these with tongue in cheek. Love you all, Steve. Okay, thanks, Steve. That's very funny.
That's hilarious. Love it.
Yeah, very good. And not exactly wrong on any of those fronts.
No.
Jeez. Steve, I don't mean to be so frank, but that was a good message.
I don't mean to be. Thanks, Sia. I went to sleep in the rain last night, and it was so fucking good.
Was it glorious?
God, I love that. I love going to sleep in the rain and waking up in the rain. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because, you know, there's some people have come up with these theories that the reason humans like the sound of water is because we're in the womb. We're essentially like, you know, we're water animals. I don't know if that's true or sounds like bullshit. It sounds like the kind of thing some Karen is going to tell you when she goes to her.
No, I've heard it too. And it also reminds me, oh gosh. And I blush from the inside when I think about it.
Oh,
but in primary school, I've only ever plagiarized once.
Oh,
and it was, sorry, not primary school. It was like standard six.
Okay. So early high school,
early mm-hmm. high school.
All right, what did you steal?
For English, I had to write an article or a piece on, I don't know what the subject was, but I ran out of time and I found a magazine article about what it feels like, why human beings love to bath or like be in a body of water.
Yes.
And it was likened to being in the womb. Mm-hmm. And it was a really poshly written article, and I copied a lot of it, and I actually got called out for it.
Oh, damn. And that was the days before the internet, so that teacher was on her toes, or his toes.
He was, and he called
me,
and
it was your turn,
and he said to me, did you find this information somewhere else, and did you copy it? And I was so scared of getting into trouble that I lied. And I said no. But I know that I was bust. I know now, looking back, that he obviously knew the article.
Damn, that's terrible.
So embarrassing.
Well, you know, if you copy from U magazine, that kind of thing happens.
No, and it was actually a very posh magazine. I'm trying to think. It's like this highfalutin.
Oh, God.
Right. Yeah. Oh, God. Talking about the womb.
Your teacher's pet self was probably hating every single moment of it.
I just want to say before we go to the headlines, you know, unlike Leanne's plagiarizing in Standard 6, Sacha Baron Cohen is one of the smartest people in the world of movie making. And Borat 2 is such an amazing, ironic, clever twist on the year 2020 and what's happened to us this year. I mean, the way he threads the coronavirus in, the way he makes it about, you know, the Republicans and Donald Trump and how America's very worst instincts come to the fore so much of the time. I have to say, it's just superb.
Really?
It's really clever. I mean,
and
it's
what
funny.
Was
it's
she
funny.
Like the actress.
She was very good.
There was a write up on her saying how amazing she was, and I've seen interviews with her. She's very camera shy, which is weird in interviews.
I've never seen her before in anything.
No, she's new, and she's from the Ukraine.
She's very good. It's so clever, because obviously there's, you know, the stuff that I love is like where they mock how backwards Kazakhstan is, and then they mock how backward the United States is, and they've got like, you know, this girl who plays his daughter, she can't believe she's traveling with this black woman in Atlanta in the car, and she's like, but how is this possible? You are a woman. How can you drive? She goes, I'm driving, honey. Everybody in this country can drive a car. You could buy a car. And it's so clever because it's filled with a little bit of compassion. I mean, there's a lot of funny double entendre with things like, you know, she swallows this baby, this little plastic baby that's on top of a cake. And then she goes, I've got the baby in me. You must help me take out the baby at an abortion clinic. But it's not an abortion clinic. Sorry, it's like one of those places where they try to talk you out of abortions. So,
oh no!
What's the context of this one? What's the context of this movie?
All right, the basic, and I don't want to give away too much of this, but Borat, when he made his first movie, got into huge trouble because when he went back to Kazakhstan, and you know, this is the story. He went back to Kazakhstan, and they were so embarrassed that he'd made this movie that they put him in the gulag. And he was working, mining and doing horrible things. And he had this long beard. And then he gets given a chance to redeem himself because the leader of Kazakhstan wants to be friends with Donald Trump and Mike Pence.
Wow.
So
okay.
If Borat can help by making a new movie and taking an offering of a monkey, which he thinks, you know, the people of Kazakhstan think if they send this monkey to Mike Pence, then Mike Pence will introduce Donald Trump to Nazarbayev, who's the president.
How the hell does he come up with
it's
this?
So clever.
How they settled on a monkey as well, I don't
and
know,
then,
but okay.
And then the monkey, the crate with... I'm not going to spoil this too much. I'm going to give you too many details. It's so clever. Just watch the fucking movie. It's so good.
Okay.
So good.
Oh,
all right.
Man.
Thank you,
I'm
Gareth, says Ruth. I love Borat too. Very, very clever in the way he keeps mentioning Jews and how nobody knows, so nobody says a word. The baby scene is the absolute best. Well, the Jews thing is so clever because he takes that anti-Semitism.
Because he's Jewish, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. That's why he can get away with this. But
yeah,
there's so much, you know, there's a low-level anti-Semitism all over the world. You know, say things about Jews and people are okay with it. And he does have a song, just like the first Borat. He sings a song and people sing along. It's very funny.
Lord.
The whole thing's great. Woody says, if a girl or woman touches her vagina, it will eat her up and she will disappear. That's correct. Just, you've got to watch it. Dogoza says, I really couldn't care less about the US elections. I thought that they were interesting and I followed, but I had no dog in that fight. See, I kind of feel the same way, hey? He goes on to say, people are hysterical for no reason all the time. The hive mind, this is such a good point, the hive mind makes it difficult to understand the thoughts and behavior of free-thinking outliers. Also, the iconoclasm really rubs people off the wrong way. Yeah, you're so spot on. That's true. Because people are affected by things, they think everyone else is affected by things. And that's not always true. I didn't spend a lot of my weekend worrying about the outcome of the US elections or about what Donald Trump thinks or what Joe Biden thinks. I really didn't. I find the whole thing kind of amusing. And I hope you do too, because it is a game. It's a big game. I mean, hell. You can see the politicians
felt,
are treating
again,
it
like again, I feel like I felt more invested in it than even you did. Mm. But for me,
it's possible.
It was just a reflection on society. And the problem now is that that's not going to go away just because there's a new president. Trump has now left behind 50% of the population who is heavily invested in him.
Right.
And almost radical to
the
point.
Well,
he
hasn't left them behind. He's fighting this tooth and nail, as you expect.
True. But even if he moves on, they'll still be this wad of the population who has actually become quite angry about this.
Sure. Just like the previous election where he won and all the Hillary supporters, which was half the country, were furious and have not stopped being furious for 4 years.
But I almost feel as if I'm not scared of them, whereas I'm scared of Trump supporters.
Well, it's funny you say that because people didn't board up their shops in New York because they were scared of a Trump loss. And of course, this is an interesting observation to make, frankly, if you want to talk about the election. How come there's been no violent protest anywhere? How come no one set anything on fire or threatened anyone or had to be arrested or any of this? How come? How come that hasn't happened? If Biden has won, and we know that this is an ongoing thing, right? But largely he's won. I mean, it's pretty clear that's what's going to happen. And that's fine. But why is there none of that violence that everybody was saying was going to happen from the right? Why do they? Mm. Why is it only ever the one side that behaves like children? Really? That's something that I want an answer from the Democrats for. Because if they'd lost, if Donald Trump had won again, we know what would have happened, right? That's why people boarded up their shops. That's why the whole of New York City has board over every window. Not because they thought Trump was going to lose, but because they thought he was going to win. So let's see if it comes down now. And if there are all kinds of challenges that are mounted and those challenges are successful for Donald Trump and he does end up winning the election, very, very small chance of that. But if it does, then we'll see some violence, won't we? Isn't that interesting?
It's crazy that this is the world we live in, honest to goodness. And I think, Leanne, I think you have hit you've hit it on the nail by saying it's just speaks to society and where we're at.
Yeah.
Just to have seen the responses from people, wherever you are on the political spectrum, is interesting, and it has been fascinating to me to see how, you know, Van Jones on CNN, people were sharing his clip of him and thinking it was so moving. Personally, I thought it was cringeworthy. Like, pull yourself together. I don't want my news people crying on camera. To some Trump supporters, literally on their hands and knees on the ground outside some voting center, praying that they stop counting the polls. I do not feel so passionately about anything in my life. Maybe I'm the one who has an issue, but I would be staying home, minding my own business. What would push me outside to be that moved by something? And the fact that this is society is very telling.
Well, exactly. I'm with C on this one. Like, if you ever see me out in the street crying about some election result, then you need to just take me out into the woods and shoot me. what has my life become if politics is so important to me that I cannot help but emotionally react to it? It's ridiculous. This is an interesting thing, just to close off this conversation. We've got to get to headlines. We're running very late. A politician in power is like a monkey with a machine gun. Yet instead of taking away the gun, we keep trying to change the monkey. I mean, you can't say it better than that, right? Doesn't that make perfect sense? That's so clever. All right, here are some headlines.
I'm still hopeful.
Yeah, hopeful of what? That the monkey will be changed to the right monkey?
That sometimes it will not be a monkey with a machine gun, but rather, you know, someone sound and
show me one. Show me one time that everybody's agreed we've got the perfect monkey for the gun this time. It's never going to happen.
Princess Diana, but you know, her life was cut
short. She was never in charge, Sia, of anything except her bulimia. All right, let's move on. Becky Taylor has hit out at J.P. Smith amid a mounting pressure to convene a racketeering task team. So what's happened here is that the Western Cape provincial government and the city of Cape Town are applying pressure to Minister Trele to make good on his commitment to crack down on extortion rackets across the city. You know, like any politician, Becky Trele was quick to say, we are going to go after criminals, we're going to get these people, we're going to get these people. Now, the Western Cape government are holding him to that, and he says, there are some complications. He hit back at the mayoral committee member for safety and security, J.P. Smith. He committed to a multidisciplinary crackdown at the Cape's extortion rackets, or on the Cape's extortion rackets, in mid-September, but a multidisciplinary task team for this purpose is yet to meet. Again, if you think politicians are going to save you from the world that you're in, especially if that world is a mess, I've got bad news for you. They're not. They cannot save you, and neither can Becky Cele, who's really, he's like one of the low-functioning politicians. The state capture advocate has said that the former SAA chair, that woman, Quinana, is a dishonest witness. Legal counsel for the State Capture Commission said they would argue in due course that the former technical board chair, Yake Quinana, was a dishonest person. In an unusual move, the commission is sitting in Braamfontein this weekend as it races against the clock to have its work completed in time. Quinana has taken the stand to complete her testimony regarding dodgy contracts secured with a company known as JM Aviation. It's alleged that Quinana received millions of rand in kickbacks in exchange for lucrative contracts from SAA. Just unbelievable. This woman should go straight to jail. Where are you, Shamila Batoy? Where the fuck are you? Yes, that woman is so crap at her job. Unless she suddenly comes up with a massive trawl of cases that she's launching, prosecutions she's about to start putting into play. Unless that happens within the next month and a half, this woman must be fired from her job. She's completely useless otherwise. All right. Nigeria, you know what's been happening in Nigeria, right? The central bank has frozen the accounts of 20 prominent figures involved in protests against police brutality that rocked the country. So the government has been credibly accused of police brutality, not like, you know, the the kinds of nonsense we've heard from America. Africa's most populous country was swept by weeks of demonstrations. And what does the government do? They go after the people who are protesting.
Oh, that is just sick.
You know, you get the chance to do the right thing. And what do you do? Exactly the wrong thing. Fucking Nigeria, really.
They're trying to teach people not to protest.
Well, they're threatening them openly. They're locking their accounts. They're causing them to be arrested. The protests have fizzled out in recent weeks, but key organizers have complained of harassment, including being barred from traveling abroad. The central bank said in a statement late on Friday that a federal court has ordered the freezing of accounts for a period of 90 days, pending the outcome of an investigation. So here you've got one of the most corrupt countries in the world, where it is evident to anyone who can read that the Nigerian government have pretty much never been honest. And now they're saying, well, we've got to investigate these protesters, ordinary citizens, and we're going to lock their accounts for 90 days. Imagine not being able to get to your money, if you have any money, for 90 days.
It's devastating.
I mean, these people are going to die of hunger. Anyway, so we'll no doubt that protest will fizzle out and then authoritarianism will win. African leaders have welcomed a Biden election win and hope for better relations with the U.S., which is so ironic because it's been proven, again, on the statistics time and time again, that a Republican administration always sends more money to Africa. So it's very weird, but it's got to do with ideology, obviously. African leaders have welcomed Joe Biden's electoral victory in the U.S., that's up to now, according to the media, expressing hope that his win will boost trade and other relations with the continent and the United States. Biden defeated Donald Trump to become 46th U.S. president, unseating the incumbent, with a pledge to unify and mend a nation reeling from the worsening coronavirus pandemic and deep political divisions. Tell you what, whoever wins...
All we're interested in is money, their money.
Exactly, but that's the point.
That's right. The only value they have to us.
You would think, except that these African leaders, many of whom are going for their fourth and fifth term, have the cheek to say, well, we would prefer this guy. We're going to take you seriously, leader of Equatorial Guinea or, Cameroon. We need to hear from you. Anyway, it's interesting that whoever does end up in the White House from January, because remember, Trump is still president until then, whoever does end up in the White House from January, they're going to have a poison chalice that they inherit. So if it's Donald Trump again, he's going to have to keep working against the coronavirus and an economy that's only just starting to show signs of recovery. If it's Joe Biden, he's going to have to get in there and get his hands very dirty. Got a lot of fixing to do. So I don't envy whoever this person is. Libyan mass graves have been found. This is unbelievable because, people have been saying for the longest time that Gaddafi was such an evil man. Well, they found 17 bodies in a newly found mass grave in western Libya's Tahuna region, taking the total exhumed in recent months to 112. Apparently, the UN have got involved in this too. The graves are located in Tahuna, from where Eastern strongman Khalifa Haftar launched an aborted assault last year. Oh, so this is last year. This is not even... I'm sorry, I didn't read this properly. It turns out this is not from the Gaddafi years. This is from now. This is from Haftar, who's in the east. He's the guy who's leading that faction. And they launched an aborted assault last year on the capital of Tripoli. The area, some 80 kilometers southwest of Tripoli, served as the main staging area for Haftar's failed offensive. The presence of mass graves was first reported after withdrawal of his forces from western Libya in June. And Libya's Government of National Unity's interior minister said that the graves represented atrocious acts and cannot go unpunished. Wow, 112 people found so far. That's pretty awful. My God. That is the news. That's what you need to know from all over the world this morning. So we were talking about...
It's craziness.
Yeah, we were talking about Diego Maradona the other day, and I said that that guy's definitely on the sauce. He celebrated his birthday, remember? And it turns out he definitely did, because he had to check into hospital the next week after his birthday.
Yeah, he's in hospital. And he, even though he's indicated that he'd like to leave, His personal physician has said no. So they've had to put him, they've had to sedate him because he's suffering from severe withdrawal symptoms. They don't say whether it's alcohol or drugs, but we all know his history of alcohol and drugs.
Yes.
But he's 60 years old now. And I don't know. I was surprised to hear that he's still so badly addicted to whatever he's on.
Everything.
Yeah. How's he survived this long?
Well, sure, that is a sign, a sure sign that too many drugs will not kill you. It's other stuff. It's other stuff that kills you. It's like, you know, sugar and.
That is not the tagline that every drug awareness organization around the world wants to go with.
But drug awareness organizations have a dog in the fight. I'm saying that Maradona at 60 years old, and of course I wouldn't want his liver, but somehow he seems to be more like he's partying his tits off at 60.
He's in hospital because he had some surgery for a subdural hematoma, which is a blood clot on the brain. And, you know, you need to be quite heavily invested in your choice of drug or alcohol in order to suffer severe withdrawal symptoms where you have these episodes of confusion like he's having due to enforced abstinence.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had no idea that he was 60 years old and still going at it really hard.
I think he could do like one of those piled up little mountains of cocaine and he'd still be all right the next day. I think he's just developed a resistance.
It also says there aren't people who are strong enough or who care about him enough around him.
He will not take no for an answer. Apparently, this is the first time that his doctor has said to him no, and he's had to accept it because, you know, he wants to go home. And the quote here says, this was one of the few times where Diego has been told no.
Diego, I love that.
See, that's the thing. I would even think, are they not even business people around him who care enough? As in, like, they make money off him too. No, they need him to travel. They need him to be an ambassador of this. They need him to front that.
I think you've read this wrong, Sia. No one needs Maradona at the moment. He's more trouble.
But also, he's probably a much worse person when he's not on drugs or alcohol.
Mm.
Maybe he can't function.
Maybe he spirals into depression, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, Keith Richards is another one. You look at Keith Richards, that guy is living forever, right? And he's taken all the drugs and he's drunk all the alcohol and he's had all of the different stimulants his whole life long, and he's fine. So I'm starting to think maybe we've been lied to about the drugs. Maybe the drugs are actually much safer than alcohol. Maybe the drugs are much safer than smoking, right?
Look, if there's a better looking example, I might start to believe that, you know.
Yeah.
Maradona and Keith Richards aren't an example of, you know, pristine looking people.
Yeah, well, you got to choose. Either you want to look good or you want to feel good.
Oh, God.
No, that is not a choice I want to make. Thank you very much.
And also, Diego Maradona has been in hospital a lot of times because of his addictions.
Yeah. Couple of comments.
He's not surviving it well.
A couple of comments that have come in about the news stories this morning. Carl says, how is it possible that Nigeria's SARS is more efficient than ours? I don't know. I don't know if they are, but it is possible. Of course, it's possible. Maki Umalo says, why is Pretoria quiet about police brutality in Nigeria? Remember when Cyril condemned the killing of George Floyd? Yeah, but you see, you got to choose which situations. It's all posturing. None of it's for real. They don't actually care about police brutality. We live in a country where people are brutalized by the police every day. Yet when, you know, it happens to one guy in America, we somehow think we have moral authority to, like, condemn it. It's what is that old thing of remove the splinter from your eye before you try and remove the beam of wood from someone else's? I don't think our government's ever figured that out. JP says the South African just posted a story about Garrett says drugs are safe.
There we go.
That's exactly right.
Drugs are safe, okay?
Okay.
No, well, on the point of Nigeria's SARS and the state of African leadership, so often we think about it in the context of what happens in Parliament or how rules are made or when rules are made. But there was another story that caught my eye this weekend that also spoke to really the impact of bad leadership, and that's in Zimbabwe. So there's this big, flashy businessman guy. His name is Ginimbi, or was Ginimbi, I guess, in this context, who died in a car accident early on Sunday morning, so yesterday.
Yeah.
And it was a fact that he I don't know, they're still investigating. Some people think there's foul play. Some people just think he drove into a tree. And he was thrown out of the car. And there were three other people in the car who died. But the authorities were not around for hours on end just to be on site. That the public started to get wind of this first. There was a massive crowd that gathered. And there they were taking photos of the corpse on the ground. The three other people who were stuck in the car were also filmed. So that's now all over social media. And it was hours later, it was like early, not even like mid-morning our time, when the authorities were finally on the scene and were able to cover the body and were able to remove the bodies from the scene.
Was it in a remote area or something?
No, I think it happened somewhere in Harare, I think, if I'm not mistaken. I'll find it and I'll confirm.
So even if you died,
yeah, it wasn't Harare. It wasn't Harare.
So even if you die, the authorities won't come and help you unless you're from the right political party.
You know, where were the paramedics? Where were the police? Mm. Where was even just the fire department to do something there? So it's like, wow, actually, when there's horrible leadership, it really trickles down to every single layer of what happens in running a country. It's shocking to me. It's also bizarre that people are still fascinated by that gory stuff, that you really do want to take photos of a dead body and then you want to share it, and that's
but it's also, it's his fame, so. But yeah, that's horrible.
It's all just very, it's all so ugly, and it doesn't make us look good as a, you know, as a continent. We look like we're very backward and primitive people, and this kind of thing happens. People just get left in a car accident and everybody's taking pictures. It's the kind of thing that it's like Borat. It's like when Borat's taking the piss out of Kazakhstan. It's like how I imagine Kazakhstan to be. Just this lawless, weird, backward place where everybody is, you know, they're primal. They're not even worthy of kind of being treated like humanity, because they're taking pictures of dead people and doing really dumb things. It's like we're bad, and I don't like that. It makes me feel like we're somehow being ridiculed and mocked by the world, but we're doing it all to ourselves.
All right.
Anyway, so all right, lots and lots of comments coming in. You can send those to us on 0797482090. Let us hear what's going on in your life. You can talk to us about all the things you got up to this weekend. I also want to talk about something that Sia's excited about, which is Love Island coming to South Africa. I know you're very excited about that. Sia's favorite show.
Witwoo.
Is that?
What?
What is that?
Is that your version of a whistle?
Yeah.
Witwoo.
Okay.
Witwoo.
No shame. You know, my mother still, got a quarter to 60, has not been able to figure out how to whistle. But that has never stopped her from still trying to whistle these days. Like, I think it's actually, that's the pathetic and also sweet thing. You know, so it will be a very serious moment. You know, we've discussed something so tragic, and then she'll go,
shame.
It just ruins it. It ruins everything.
And you guys must.
It is just, Oh, you can't help but to. You have to mock and crack up because it is just pathetic ash. You go, yeah.
You must teach her wit woo.
Yeah,
wit woo might actually work better than.
All right, everybody, let's get on with it. We've got a busy morning ahead of us. If you want to join in the conversation, you can do that 0797482090. If you want to watch us live this morning, you can do that too. Just go to cliffcentral.com and follow the link.
Cliffcentral.com.